Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 6:47 on a Thursday night, rolling through another Capital City recap. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Please send me some comments. Our email address, capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. Anything you have to tell me about the program is usually very, very helpful. Now, a lawsuit filed against Governor Rick Snyder and the Michigan legislative redistricting maps announced today. The groups involved include the NAACP, the Michigan Legislative Black Caucus, and Latin Americans for Social and Economic Development. Democratic State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. of Detroit is the chair of the Michigan Legislative Black Caucus, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm a pleasure to be here.
You know, last time you were on the program, we talked about these maps. That's when a deal to reconsider them fell through. Has this lawsuit been brewing ever since?
Yes. As a matter of fact, what we did was right up to the very last moment before the bills were passed, I tried to negotiate with the Republicans in a manner that would be fair and equitable to the African American and Hispanic community in this state, and it was their decision to go with a set of maps that they believe are legal, but that do much damage to minority voters in the state.
Now, redistricting maps across the country are known to look absolutely crazy, and they're usually done with political motives in mind, of course. Is this not the same case with Detroit, that we have a situation where maps were basically made to be most favorable for Republicans since they were the ones creating them?
It is that exact rationale that you've given that is in direct violation of the Voter Rights Act. The Voter Rights Act indicates that maps have to be compact, concise, and they should not be gerrymandered all over the board to be able to effectuate a political advantage for any party, whether it be Democrat or Republican. And the problem that we have in the city of Detroit, we have 12 representatives from the city of Detroit. Now, of course, there was some population loss, which meant that we, in our view, gave up one seat. We gave up the seat of Chanel Jackson, who was a term-limited representative. That should have taken care of the problem, we thought, but the Republicans had a different idea. And their idea was to come into the city of Detroit, incidentally a city where they have not had a Republican vote to approach even more than 5% of the total vote in the city of Detroit in the last 25, 30 years. So there's no way a Republican is going to ever get elected from the city of Detroit, which means there was really no political advantage for the Republicans doing what they did except to strip out minority representation. And that's why one of the codicils in our suit have to do with deliberate discrimination.
Why would they, though, focus on minorities specifically?
They have a belief that you cannot mix African American and Hispanics together to create a majority district. And we disagree with that tacitly. They cite one court case, which has been used, the Nixon case. We have several other cases from across the country to the contrary. The maps that we gave to the Republicans were such that they caused no incumbent runoffs against each other, that they stayed within the boundary lines of the corporate limits of the city of Detroit, and that the voting percentages were above 40%.
I see. Now, I'm talking to Democratic State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. about this lawsuit filed in federal court against Governor Rick Snyder regarding the Michigan legislative redistricting maps. So are the maps as they're created now, do they include both whites and minorities in Detroit?
They include everyone who lives inside the city of Detroit. in my district, which is the sixth district, there is a combination of whites, blacks, and other ethnicities. I represent the area in the city of Detroit, which is in the middle of the city. It covers all the way downtown at the foot of the river, the Wayne State University area, Midtown, and the Corktown, and all of those places. In fact, in Corktown is 50% white and 50% black.
I see. And that is the current district as it's structured now. Is your district affected?
My district is affected by it. I will lose in the next if he seats if the loss is successful, which I don't believe it will be. But I lost downtown Detroit, and my district moved further to the west and to the north.
I see. And do the suburbs then? I mean, do they vote in a dramatically different way than the city does?
Yes. And that's the thing that we try to get people to understand. This is not about race or color for us. It's about fair representation of citizens who vote in the city of Detroit. And that there is really no reason why in this time that the Republicans had to do what they did. In fact, given the last two censuses over the last 20 years, the legislature chose not to impose itself on Detroit and just leave the Detroit seats alone. Well, this year they decided to play with those seats. They split Southwest Detroit, which was in and of itself 47% district, split the whole Southwest Detroit so that the Hispanic community cannot now, based on these new maps, ever achieve electing one of their own to public office. And that's one of the second strong reasons of our lawsuit. They split Southwest Detroit. They caused a number of incumbent runoffs. We had 12 members, and now we have 8 of them. 8 of the 12 are facing one another in races. And then there are seats that we were concerned about in Pontiac, and also in Saginaw, and one in Grand Rapids that we were concerned about as well. So that's why we filed the lawsuit. The caucus represents 22 legislators from across the state, senators and representatives, and we believe that any attempt to marginalize, reduce, or extract members is really not in the true sense democratic, and that it smacks of party control and a grab, a power grab. And that's what we are concerned about. There are 110 members of the House of Representatives. And if 22, well, actually, they're not 22, minus 5 would be 17. If we had 17 members of the House who are African American and or Hispanic, and we have one Asian, I think that's diversity in its finest form.
Mm-hmm. Although even with the representation Detroit now has, and it's facing some serious issues, even an emergency financial manager potentially, do you think lawmakers here in Lansing have, in a sense, given up on the city?
No. There's quite a bit of interest in the city. In fact, the fact that they are talking about imposing an emergency manager means that the state government is very concerned about what is happening in Detroit. Our position has always been that Detroit can take care of itself. If the state wants to help the city of Detroit, what it ought to be doing is to return the $179 million that it took away from statutory revenue sharing and give that back to the city of Detroit, whose budget was set up based upon the receipt of that money, which the governor changed. Number two, going back all the way to 1998, where agreements were made with then Mayor Dennis Archer and Governor John Engler to pay back money from revenue sharing that was owed to the city of Detroit, which has not been paid to the tune of over $220 million, is part of the other problem. you know, when you have a state government that wants to come in and take over your governance, and yet is kind of guilty and culpable of contributing to the financial disarray, you got to kind of wonder what is the real motive here.
Democratic State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. of Detroit, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Absolutely. I will keep track of this lawsuit, and we'll certainly be interested in talking some more about that. Michael Cohen here with Emily Scarlett. We will be back in just about a minute. You're listening to 1320 WILS.